Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. Now, the show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, it's just you and me this week, and the archives, and I'll tell you why in a moment. So I hope you got to see some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we'll get to the grab-a-pencil portion of the show in a bit. But first, friends, a little backstory on why I'm dipping into the archives this week. So, a while back, the interview you're about to hear, the filmmaker brought up a documentary that he had made. And after hearing the, and you'll know the context when you hear the interview, I never saw it until a few months ago when I was at a certain store that sells stuff at Half Price. Thank you, gang. And this documentary was there. It's only half hour long, and it was $8, and I bought it, and I didn't care. It's the documentary Homeless in America, produced and directed by Tommy Wiseau. That's right. Yeah, we'll get to that interview in a little bit. So after experiencing The Room several times and some other projects he's worked on and interviewing him many, many moons ago, side tangent, I got to have lunch with Kobe Slagle, longtime film sociology producer alumni, engineer alumni. So it was good to see him, and we just crack each other up. So good to see Kobe. Miss you, Bianca and Frank. Anyway, I watched this documentary expecting another Tommy Wiseau masterpiece like The Room. And friends, I am happy to announce the documentary Homeless in America. Not a train wreck. It helps that it's only 30 minutes. And there's footage of and Tommy is not in the film at all. There's actually one little moment where the camera kind of swoops over and you see him because he's hard to miss. But no, the interviews are done by a young guy with a long blonde hair and a ponytail and just kind of doing his best. That's OK. I've seen worse interviewers, I should say. But we do get quite a bit of footage of homeless people in Los Angeles being interviewed, which is fine. They got to tell their story. It didn't feel exploitation. It didn't feel exploitive. So there's that. That was the other thing I was kind of dreading with this of you know, I think that the running joke was, oh, hi, homeless person. So that doesn't happen. And then they interview the police chief for the LAPD. They interview the CEO of one of the biggest homeless shelters in the city. They get onto an event where celebrities and volunteers are handing out food, plating up dinners for the homeless. And there's everybody from basketball players to John Larroquette get a little bit of airtime. And also the fact that Tommy Wiseau did not take the celebrity names and paste them on the front as if they were the stars of the documentary. See, there's again, this could be a lot worse. You know, this could have dragged out for 90 minutes or 80 minutes. And it's just like I said, just 30 tells the story, makes its point, doesn't feel like exploitation, and it's not a train wreck. So congratulations, Tommy Wiseau. You were correct, sir, when you brought up this documentary. And with that in mind, look, I've always said, if Fresh Air can replay, and they did, they replayed a lot of interviews involving Mad Men, Breaking Bad, The Wire, stuff like that. This is my version of that. So, friends, we go into the archives. And speaking of The Wire, I point to Michael K. Williams. Now, we dip into the archives, And here's my interview with Tommy Wiseau. Enjoy. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Moss? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not. And some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always been was in my heart, you know. It was, in a sense, and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, et cetera. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relates to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time. But just to briefly to tell you, my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class, and I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors, and a lot of people ask me, why you use these colors? Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the I wanted people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult art. What you make a big effort, and it's, I always say, you have to be detail oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc. online. And hopefully, people are in a few days they will ask me direct question if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I would say, to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And the fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it'll be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this, nothing happened by accident, you know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, does lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do a 5-minute movie or a feature movie, guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now, right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money, or you make you know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. But the room is based on the 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed, in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And, you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people, you know, have comments about the room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talk and from the room, you see, it doesn't matter that you don't have to write the like the room. And I want to stress that, because a lot of people think that, oh yeah, you have, no, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what the room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names. Maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. You know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on. Next question.
Will is the book published or will it be published?
No. Right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them. You know, again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto. You know,
okay. Yes.
I was beat up. You know, people beat me up many times. But true fans of the room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know.
We're
ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for the room begin? Hopefully it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. The fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues. Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and actually I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this,
mm-hmm.
and this is just statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight, so I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not, but I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have. And I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. You guys give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs, you know. We don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know, and we don't have this kind of places, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the gray area what I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it, and I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And then move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want you to talk too. Just jump in any time.
Well,
tell me, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on, next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like, I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, that's tempting to be very close to someone. You know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute. Why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy it, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say, you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love public, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure is there, but I like it.
And now, I know right after The Room you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, in since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy. And it's related also to indirectly to homelessness. So, again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And, again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media. No, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this, people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation, but the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably would do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America. I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. Well, you know, people say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
What's the status on The House That Drips Blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They aired it on TV and they put it online. And, they're supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project, was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge, you know. Some mm-hmm. people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you know, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you know, you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, defined melodrama is based... It's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But I don't know a story again. I will say very openly that I have some friends that they are really melodramatic. If you ask me,
we all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I will say that hopefully we have more discussion like that. About with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
Actually, I'd like to have a program, you know, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, you know. So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
You talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
As far as are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, you know, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, even include the homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself. However, I'm fond of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or is my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also is good.
Mm-hmm.
In slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two... two guys walking in a back close fence, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I'll say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or that you work, feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire, the Alex, as well. There'll be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I'm saying, where's the fi- as far as how far is what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes, and The Economy water released before June. A Vampire, I'm working, but at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room, and that'll be before Christmas, as well as I'm working also on the 3D movie as well, 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough, you see. So again, I have a system of, if you refer to the room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well, that, you know, I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like, 6 months rehearsal before we shot The Room, but I don't know what the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed 4 times. So a lot of actors, there's only 1-2 person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I am very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
But at the same time, not self-centered, let me say that too. So, my system is pretty straightforward, what I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself, and you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see, and I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go based as I am as a director. I say, what is the character saying? What he or she is doing? What's the situation? So it's the last obstacle come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that. Okay, and when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this, they're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors, because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not you have to be popular or, but what you acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor, because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, again, about the system, so that's basically when I shot the room, I recorded this VHS tape. And by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find a something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people lyrically say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In the room, I have like four different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing. Acting as well, it's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from homeless to the room, from vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how be the sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to the room. It's theneighborssitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on. Right now as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say, you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff that we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety, if you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with, started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on. You know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, one, two, three, four times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so, so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
There you have it, my chat with Tommy Wiseau. You can go to Wiseau Films or Wiseau Films website, and we want to find it, so there you go. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching, do want to raise a glass to a couple actors. One I already mentioned, Michael K. Williams, who passed away earlier this week. Going through his IMDb, as I see it here in front of me, yeah, when you have not names, but occupations or titles in your film. First credit is the video for Madonna's song Secret, and he's just uncredited as Shirtless Man. Played high top in Bullet, drug dealer in Bringing Out the Dead. You're playing drug dealer, but it's in a Scorsese film, so there is that. Lackawanna Blues, I forgot he was in that. And, you know, Michael K. Williams, classic kind of that guy, constantly working from, first credit came in 1994. By about 99, just never stopped working. I Think I Love My Wife, Gone Baby Gone, The Incredible Hulk, Brooklyn's Finest, Addicts, The Road, Love. I know I'm going through all this. 12 Years a Slave, of course. They Die by Dawn, The Purge, Anarchy, Time Out of Mind, Inherent Vice, The Gambler, Triple Nine, Ghostbusters, yeah, the female Ghostbusters, and Everything's Fine. Assassin's Creed, Superfly. Yeah, I didn't like the remake, but he was pretty solid. Motherless Brooklyn, Critical Thinking. So there you go. Thank you, Michael. And Michael Constantine. And, of course, I'm of an age that I remember reruns from Room 222. Hi, Karen Valentine. But Michael Constantine's credits go all the way back to 1959. One of the noted films played Big John in The Hustler back in 1961. Island of Love, Lonnie, Beau Geste from 1966, Hawaii from 1966. Two big ones there. Like I said, did a slew of television and did an occasional film like The Reavers. And had a great third act, career-wise, of course. And I remember he was creepy a bit in the film version of Stephen King's Thinner. But with My Big Fat Greek Wedding, of course, just got him a bigger audience. And, you know, he prior to this was doing kind of coming off the bench in films like Deadfall, My Life, and The Juror. But to play Gus in the film and the series and the sequel. So, yeah, he was one of those guys always working, always around, and actually Greek. that's a slight dig on a couple casting choices. That's okay. Everybody was wonderful in that. So, yeah, salute to Michael Constantine. All right, heading over to the Tibbs Drive-In. On screen one, Candyman and The Night House. On screen two, Free Guy and Jungle Cruise. On screen three, Shang-Chi and The Protégé. And screen four, Paw Patrol the movie, Space Jam: A New Legacy. That's for the kiddies. Over at the Skyline Drive-In this weekend, Shang-Chi and Don't Breathe 2. And Pandemonium Weekend is happening on Friday, September 24th at the Skyline Drive-In. Over at IU Cinema. On Sunday at 1 o'clock, The Blood of a Poet. Tuesday the 14th, a special virtual event at 7 p.m. Gather. Thursday, September 16th, this is taking place at Memorial Stadium, not IU Cinema. At 8 p.m., they're going to show WALL-E. Oh, that'll be cool. That will be cool. On Tuesday, September 21st at 7 o'clock, Singin' in the Rain. Please join us for the celebratory book launch screening to commemorate the new publication, Indiana University Cinema, The New Model. And on Thursday, September 23rd at 8 o'clock at Memorial Stadium, Princess Mononoke. Nice. All that's happening over at IU Cinema at the Can-Can Indie. This showing right now, not technically right now, depending on when you're listening to this, Faya Dai, Mogul Magui, Pig, and Roadrunner. coming soon. David Byrne's American Utopia, Across the Universe, and the Eyes of Tammy Faye. All that's happening over at Can Can Indy at the Historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin, if you're listening to this on Friday, 7:30 p.m. and Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m. From Here to Eternity. And I remember trying to recreate the famous beach scene with Mrs. Sosie in Haiti. So Wednesday, September 15th at 7:30 p.m., Pink Floyd The Wall is a part of their midweek music movie series. Friday and Saturday, September 17th and 18th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Sullivan's Travels. And then Saturday, September 18th at 10 a.m., free event, the documentary Love Gilda. You have to RSVP, so go to historicalartcrafttheater.org for all the information. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching. We start on Twitter. There was a fun thread, and no, I will not read the entire thread. I already read enough on social media list that on the show. That's enough. But Mary Kay writes The Birdcage, such a classic, and it was just a really nice response from a few listeners, including film sociology guest regular Tracy Forner. Dave writes, Escape from Alcatraz, older film that offers a dim view of prison life, and the only hope is an exit. I do dig Escape from Alcatraz. So that's over on Twitter. We go to Facebook. We go to last week's post. So because, you know, Big Brother's watching and he can post your post whenever they want to. You know, them, not us. We start with Kirsten, who said, it's not a film, but The Chair is such good TV. Such good, all caps. And Kirsten, my wife and I, Lynn, you know, the one who lets me call her Mrs. Sosie on the radio. We started The Chair last week, and I'm really digging it. So, very cool. Pamela writes, Count Me In, fantastic documentary. James writes, The Immortal Story. This is okay. Cheryl writes, did you get mine from last night? I did not, so please repost next Thursday. There are times, friends, where I appreciate everybody posting. I really do. But the fact that people feel like they're running late to post, you'll get it in. I'll try to get it in. So be patient, or if I don't ask that week, I will have people going, hey, how come you didn't ask for my movies this week? So this is cool. This is why I do this show, among other things. So anyway, hang in there, Cheryl. Mary writes Halloween, the Rob Zombie version, and the original Candyman from 1992. Ed writes News of the World. Tom writes, not really a film, in quotes. I watched the Amazon Prime series on Hugh Hefner. Very lightning to see all the Playboy organization fought for over the years. Kathleen writes, Nomadland, Palms, John of God, and Bob Ross, the Bob Ross documentary. Kathy writes, Robert the Bruce, I don't recommend it, had a glacial pace. Chris writes, Good Morning, Vietnam. Robin writes, News of the World. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Chris. Gary writes, Orpheus, Pardon My Blooper, Clockwork Orange County, The Rise and Fall of the West Coast Punk. I get you there. I know exactly what you're talking about. Continuing on, David writes, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote and Office Space. Dave, I found The Man Who Killed Don Quixote on DVD, a few months back, and it's good. It's good. It's not the train wreck, I think. You expect with Terry Gilliam films to be absolutely sensational or a train wreck, and that one falls more toward pretty good. I got to tell this story a little bit. Side note. Sorry, it's my show. When I was directing my second play, I had adapted the Greek tragedy Medea, Euripides' play. And I was doing it at Book Mama's, back when Book Mama's was on South Meridian Street, down the street from the Greek Islands restaurant. And I went to a movie before rehearsal one day, and the film I watched was the documentary Lost in La Mancha, which was Terry Gilliam's first attempt to make the film The Man Who Killed Don Quixote with Johnny Depp And we had his aging actor playing Don Quixote, who couldn't get insured, and everything from his lead falling off a horse to the budget ballooned, and then there was a torrential flood that lost some of the sets. And I thought, if Terry Gilliam's having this much trouble with a $30 million film, I could pull off a Greek tragedy for $140 and made money opening. So. Right out of the gate. So anyways, always inspirational for me, and I was really glad Terry Gilliam finally got to do The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. And David also watched Office Space. Thank you, David. Joshua writes, Untold, Crimes and Penalties. Untold, Breaking Point, Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. Did you watch that by yourself? And The Program, the 2015 film with Ben Foster. Patty writes, The Sign of Four from 1983. John writes, watch Gaslight from 1944 last night, a George Cukor film with a very young Angela Lansbury, folks. Lou Harry writes, Voodoo Macbeth. Oh, my God, I said it on the radio. Annette and Werewolves Within and Gypsy. But which Gypsy, Lou? There are so many. But thank you, Lou. Jeff writes, Chaos Walking. Tony writes, The Asphalt Jungle. I need to talk to him about that. David writes, Boogie Nights. And as Bert says, I want them to remember me. This is the one I want them to remember me by. Andrea writes White Christmas, and then in parentheses, research. Somebody's directing White Christmas on a stage somewhere. Samuel writes, Shang-Chi was really amazing. So much detail and a nice Easter egg for fans with the Kung Fu Hustle poster in the connection to Wenhua. Oh, thank you, Samuel. I appreciate that. Back to the list. Mark writes, The Net. In those days, viruses were visible to the naked eye, and Sandra Bullock was in a bikini with a laptop on a beach. Michael writes, I haven't watched it in the past week, but this coming week I am planning to revisit the Matrix trilogy in anticipation of the Matrix Resurrections. Yeah, Neil, as we were saying at rehearsal post-rehearsal drinks last night, yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is in this. Roxana writes, Jungle Cruise, that Emily Blunt is delightful. Yes, she is. Sean writes, Carney, ooh, and the 1974 movie The Wrestler, I'll add Lamageddon. That's the one with Vern Gagne and Ed Asner, not the Mickey Rourke, Darren Aronofsky film. It's something to watch. So, Chris Lloyd, a little Chris Lloyd news. Chris is going to be doing film reviews on Fox 59 AM. Welcome to the club. Hope you last longer than I did, and enjoy. Have a lot of fun there, and tell the old gang there I say hello. Chris writes, Green Lantern, don't ask, but we will. Override, The Last Leonardo, Le Gang, and Language Lessons. Tracy Forner chimes in. Oh, look, it's a Fox 59 AM reunion. Green Lantern, Boy's Choice, and he said, believe it or not, my choice. Chris says, I finished my review early the other night, opened Netflix for the first time in forever, and it was there, and I was like, is it really as bad as I remember? Yes, it is. So, and as Tracy chimes in, haven't watched a movie this week, too busy Ted Lassoing. That's all right. Jay writes, we watch Coda on Apple Plus, really good. Eric writes, the original Wax On, Wax Off edition of The Karate Kid. Kim writes, the breathtakingly lovely The Yearling from 1946, Shepherd in the Hills, and a lot of Columbo. Excellent choice there with Columbo. David writes, Shang-Chi and the second season of Ted Lasso. Julie writes, Worth. Michael Keaton was fabulous. Wayne writes, Shang to the mother. He didn't actually write that, but I'm not going to say it. Mary writes, House of a Thousand Corpses. Emily writes, The Mitchells versus the Machines. Daniel writes, Two English Girls, The Woman Next Door, Bonnie and Clyde, and Orlando. Daniel, were those in a row? Well done, man. Rachel writes, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Glenn writes, News of the World. And Scott chimes in, we enjoyed that movie. Dustin writes, The Gold Rush, Emperor Jones, Can-Can, Something the Lord Made, all three Hangover films. Dustin, man, the first one's fine. You don't have to do that to yourself. 42 and Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. okay. And there's a thread. I'm not going to talk about that. That's y'all business. Steven writes, Anne of a Thousand Days. Eric writes, Black Crows, Cabin Fever. Cindy writes, the Hubster watched the Tomorrow War and couldn't stop talking about it. Linda writes, this is one of the strangest movies we've seen in a long time, the 2007 film Awake. Jared writes, Shang-Chi and Freaky. I think it's a film title. It's not his review of the film we already mentioned. Michelle writes, Worth. Devin writes, Cinderella. Jonas Brothers, The Concert Experience. Chasing Happiness. Happiness Continues, a Jonas Brothers concert film. Oh, he's going to the Jonas Brothers. He went to the Jonas Brothers concert. Okay, well, that's prep work. Cassie writes, Cry of the Banshee and Beer. Alan writes, The Loneliest Whale, The Search for 52. Yeah, I really enjoyed that film. Joe writes, Rough Riders, Last of the Dogmen, The Long Riders, featuring film sociology guest James Keach, The Other Boylan Girl, and Season 7 and 8 of The West Wing. Eric writes, First Viewings, Worth, Decision at Sundown, and the rewatches, Seven Men from Now, plus Netflix's The Chair. John writes, Frozen, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Anthropod, and American Me. Brianna is a recent college graduate, finally saw Django Unchained. It was absolutely ridiculous in the best way. I agree. Robert Muggy writes, Ninotchka, the Ernest Lubitsch film, another Ernest Lubitsch film, Angel, That Uncertain Feeling, a non-Ernest Lubitsch film, Point Blank, John Borman's film, one of my all-time favorite revenge movies, China Seas, and Wife Versus Secretary. Thank you, Robert. Kurt writes, we had Amadeus at Beltrace Saturday night at the movies. Good choice, Kurt, or pass that along to whoever suggested it. Linda writes, Red and Red 2. Michael writes, Chaos Walking and The Courier. Alan writes, Ava, The Virtuoso, and tried to watch Terminal. Ronnie writes, the 2005 remake of The Longest Yard. Okay, never forget. Eddie Albert died the day before the remake of The Longest Yard was released in theaters. I wish I could say something about that, but I'm not. Terry writes, Permanent Vacation, The Mask of Zorro, The Shooting from 1967, eerie and existential with funky, vernacular-laden dialogue, and an apocalyptic ending. It's a Western unlike any other. This, among many other things, had to have been an influence on Stephen King for The Gunslinger, the first book of his magnum opus, The Dark Tower series. let's see, Hitchhike from 1977, raucous Italian neo-noir giallo-romp, The Bird with the Crystal Plumage from 1970, and Magnet of Doom from 1963, yeah, Sky Point, the Jean-Paul Belmondo. Yep. Jennifer writes The Accused. Christian writes Shang-Chi. Doug writes The Jazz Singer, 1927, It's Love Again, That Man in Rio, with Jean-Paul Belmondo, Song of Norway, ooh, Zoot Suit, which I would love to get a copy of that, and Frida, of course, from 2002. Britt writes Ghostbusters, Cinderella, The Maturian, The Courier, Armageddon, and The Legend of Zorro. Brian writes Roger Dodger. Kirk writes The Courier, Shock and Awe, and Shattered Glass. Two things about Shattered Glass. Yes, I know it's easy for Star Wars folks to, bludgeon Hayden Christensen, and probably rightly so, but he can act. You just have to watch Shattered Glass to see it. And yes, I really wish you'd stop saying that. Should be said to more employees. Not me, of course. And finally, I love this, from Cassandra. Oh, dear, I missed it yesterday. No, you didn't. I'm reading it. And I actually had two films I can report this week. Luca, fantastic. And Grand Slam winner, It Happened One Night, also fantastic. See, Cassandra, you made it. So, and she posted, at the time I'm recording this, she posted this an hour ago. So it's all in the timing, Cassandra. Thank you so much. Well, there you are, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hope you got some ideas. I still have a stack of movies. It's never ending. Not the never ending story, but I'll get to it. So hopefully you got some inspiration and some ideas. And thank you always for contributing to public radio goodness. I've been thinking about how long am I going to continue just rattling off movie titles? I mean, we're still kind of in those times, whether we like to admit it or not. But it seems like for a lot of people, this has become a ritual. I mean, it's been a ritual for over a year and a half. So I guess I'm just going to keep going. So, but thank you so much. And I love that folks are either writing things down and saving it, and they get stressed out, or, and I don't want to stress you out, or get excited when they realize, oh, wait, I gotta give Matt a list online. So thank you so much for your contributions. And obviously we'll do it again next week. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Or you can find them streaming, or you can have a physical copy of it. I know I do. And take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!